Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Go with me to Matthew 7. And so what we're doing on Tuesday nights is we're doing topics that everybody needs, and we're doing some of the really what I call basic topics to help all the people who are doing home Bible studies or groups that are starting to do this and churches doing this to kind of have a pattern to follow. And let me tell you, if you've been a beauty fragist for a long time, you don't realize how much this has helped you. It's helped you not to judge other people. It's helped you to know how to forgive. It's helped you to know how to separate the person from the sin that's going on. It's really helped you to understand the breaking the power of inner vows and how powerful your words are. And so it's really important that, to me, these are just basics to be able to walk in freedom. Amen? And also to have ministry and to get in small groups and have people not be tempted to gossip or whatever because they understand. So when you hear do not judge, really get a hold of the spiritual law and understand everything that God does, every spiritual law that he puts out there is for our divine protection. Amen? Everything he does has a really strong purpose. God doesn't waste anything. So when you see the Lord tell us what to do or not do, and this is Jesus speaking, when you see that, then you really realize this is a spiritual law. I want ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to be able to hear by the Holy Spirit revelation why this is really important and why we need to make this a part of our life. So Matthew 7:1, do not judge that you may not be judged. What does that mean? It means don't judge. It means if you don't want to be judged, then you need to repent of all the judgment you've done. You need to, and how do we actually stop judging? Because judging is what? It's where we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we start our reasoning kicks in, and we start deciding who's what and what's what. And really, it's when we use our thinking to take the place of God. Amen? And so we're going to look at different ways that there's judging, because a lot of times we just think it means you're saying, oh, you're going to hell, there's no hope for you. No, it's way beyond that. So let's look up in the dictionary the word judge. Okay, verb. To pass sentence on a person, to pass legal judgment, to hear evidence or legal arguments in a case in order to pass judgment, to form a judgment or opinion of, to become critical of, to decide or settle authoritatively, to infer, think, or hold as an opinion, to conclude about, to make a guess about. Another one says to act as a judge, to form an opinion, to make a mental judgment. So, God is telling us not to do that. That's pretty powerful when you really stop to see what judging is. God's saying, I don't want you to have an opinion about that. How many have opinions about everything? Amen. I mean, you want to hear God. If you seriously want to hear God and know it's God, one of the main things you have to do is lay down having opinions, which is what? Quit being the judge. Because when you will see everything through your judgments. That's why there's different doctrines. That's why there's different denominations. So we really seriously want to recognize that in the eyes of God, our opinions are judgments. And he says, do not judge that you may not be judged. So do not form an opinion about what belongs to God. And I'm going to tell you, the person's not here. I'm not sure who was here Friday night. Not everybody who needs to be here to hear this is here. But Friday night, something happened. I won't get into it. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it was just one of those things where God was pushing buttons, letting buttons get pushed. How many know that God doesn't want you to try to stop people from pushing your buttons? That's called trying to control people. God wants you to let the buttons get pushed and bring them to him so he can take them out of you. Amen? Because really a button is an opinion or a judgment or a lie that you've bought from the enemy that puts demonic spirits in control of leading you. Okay? And so when this button was pushed on Friday night, because of a judgment, you know, I just kind of got really angry. And then I handled it and everything was okay and the Holy Spirit was here. But when I was studying this thing on judgment in the middle of the night, and because I do most of my Bible time in the middle of the night or early morning, and just depends on what you call what. I go to bed around 1 in the morning, so for some of you, that's the middle of the night. For me, the middle of the night's like 4 in the morning. So you're like, wait, that's morning, but it all just depends. And but don't judge it, okay? So anyway, I contacted the person, Gina, and I asked her to forgive me because I should have taken her into the office and talked to her calmly, just the two of us. And then when she would have brought up the other people, then I would have called them in. And I didn't do that. And I know to do that, right? So I'm like, Lord, why did I just get upset because something was promised to me that was going to be done and it wasn't done. And it seemed like it was being hidden from me. And I found out right in the middle of a very extremely busy time. None of that excuses the way a button got triggered and I went with it. And so I apologize to anybody who was there. You know what I'm talking about. But I never realized that a judgment, and what was a judgment? I had judged that this person would not follow through on their promise. And you're like, well, they didn't. I know. But when I judged that, when you judge something, you actually set in place a spiritual trigger, if you want to call it, to cause you to react. This is really good, people. This is why people go off. This is why people, if they do that again, if that kid does this again, if this happens like this again, and what are you doing? You're setting emotions, judgments. That's number one, you're saying what you're acting as if God didn't have a chance to change anything. And instead of sitting with this person and saying, you know, you have a repeat pattern of this. How can I make sure that we're going to break that pattern? A judgment says, okay, let's see. And a judgment, actually, when you judge something, this is going on in politics so big right now, right? You almost want the thing not to work so that you're right. See, I told you. I knew they'd do that. I just knew it. And that night I was saying, I knew this. I knew this was going to happen. I just knew this was going to happen. And the Lord was showing me that's your trigger. Because you look at what happened in the past, instead of dealing with it, helping somebody with it, you make a judgment about it. So now is everybody convicted? Say yes. It's like, oh, when she taught this before, she didn't bring this part up, you know. Well, obviously, if I had brought this up before, I would have gotten it out by now, right? So I just like, Lord Jesus, you're so awesome. Thank you. Cleanse me, heal me, humble me. Thank you, Lord. And so, and I did, when I talked to Gina, she was like, oh, no, it's fine. We're family. I knew everybody there. And she said, you know, nobody's ever loved me enough to correct me. And I was wrong. It was my responsibility. And I did not follow through. And I really am sorry that it upset the meeting. And I thought, wow, you just got an A. So it's everybody's test. And I will say she did better than I did on that part. But can I tell you, we need, you know, the Bible, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Well, Christ never had to apologize, right? So you need to imitate Paul as he's led of the Spirit. How do you know Paul ever got humbled? Because he went from being the greatest of all apostles to not even as good as the worst sinner in his own opinion of himself and the way he saw himself. He was broken by the Lord. He was broken by an intimate relationship with the Lord where the Lord shows you you. Can it tell you something? Judgments causes you to not see you. Judgments causes you to project everything on everybody else, and it's a way that keeps you from seeing what God wants to do. The only person that you can know will change is you. Because you can choose to give yourself to the Holy Spirit. You can choose to recognize you have the anger issue. You have the control issue. You have the unclean issue. You have it, you have it, you have it. if you have it. If you don't, praise God, amen. You've probably been here for a while. But the starting point of, one of the starting points of freedom is to recognize I've got to quit judging. What does judging do also? It compares. The Bible says it's unwise to compare yourself to another. So it's like a preconceived idea of how things should be. Now, yes, there are certain things. The Bible's really clear that you're to judge those in the body of Christ when it comes to blatant sin. It's very clear in 2 Peter 2, which we did last week, I think, that you're not supposed to have love for, you know, you're not supposed to have fellowship with people who God calls a dog returning to their vomit. You're not supposed to hang out with people who are talking the talk but not living the walk. Amen? And so there's a lot of scripture where you're supposed to judge. That's not an opinion there, okay? That's not an opinion there. That's fruit. Amen. That's the fruit of that person's life. And the biggest thing about 2 Peter 2 that we studied last week was about the hypocritical spirit of that. Okay. It's the person who acts like they're okay with God and yet they're blatantly not okay with God. And so in 2 Peter, he's exposing those people and saying, have nothing to do with these people because they're delusional and you're helping them go to hell. Amen. Amen. And so we need to really, really deal with hypocrisy. And I said this last week, I want to say this again. Break the power if you came up Catholic or if you have some lie that if I confess my sin, then it's over. First of all, you confess your sin one to another when it's shame-based. If you start confessing, you need to watch what you confess. I'll be honest, on Facebook, you need to watch what you confess. These things can come back at you and stop you from being hired. They can come back at you. And, you know, God is not going, I'll just let you know, God's not going to have you publicly confess things unless there's a purpose for it. Amen? And so you need to really be careful because, you know, you don't get on Facebook and start confessing stuff. To be honest, that's a really unwise place to do that. And so if you're doing that, which we had a situation last week, you need to stop and say, that's the enemy trying to get me to do that. Okay. Recognize it. Say, what is going on? What's pushing me to do that? And the person knows who I'm talking to, but what's pushing me to do that? The enemy's trying to make you look bad. He's trying to make people not want to be near you. And you need to sit there and repent and ask God, get that out of my heart. Get that out of my heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, young people, you need to really not post all your opinions and all your, you know, I post some pretty shake you up stuff on purpose. Everything you see me post, just about, except maybe when I show my Christmas tree or something, everything that I post, God tells me to post. Today he had me post one, I don't remember what it said, but and I didn't post it at first. I said, well, that's going to get some people upset. And I'm going on. The Lord said, I said, post it. And it was about to liberals. It was a letter to liberals. And my thing is when we talk about judgment, we did this last week. Was it last week we did the one about her writing in the sand? Or was that the week before? Or maybe it was Sunday morning. I don't know when it was. But anyhow, I preached, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a week. So I don't know. But it's very powerful because the Lord showed me at the very beginning of this, when Jesus was writing in the sand, you know, with the woman was brought in, caught in the act of adultery, and he was writing in the sand, the catch was they didn't really care about that woman's sin issue. They were really trying to control. They were trying to put Jesus on the spot. Whoa. How many know right now the enemy's trying to put Christians on the spot? And how many know a lot of Christians are on the spot because they're themselves are being led by the wrong spirit? And we need to pray for that. We need to have eyes wide open. We need to have the wisdom that Holy Spirit will give us that Jesus walked in. He just wrote in the sand. And the Lord showed me with this, I'm going to write in the sand and I'm going to expose everybody who throws a stone. Well, we've already lost 3 or 4 out of office besides what happens in Hollywood. And more is coming. Maybe that's prophetic. Anyway, because, you know, who wants to go back? You know, to say, okay, now we can't find anything wrong with this person, recent history, so let's go way back because we want them out. And so we need to really pray that the Congress and the Senate, when this comes up for impeachment or whatever crazy thing they're up to, once again, it goes to no. We're not doing that. And we need to pray that the power of these committees they're putting together to try to to undermine the president is really wrong. And that's another topic. We need to deal with undermining. We need to not undermine the authority that God has set up. If it's not your authority, it's not your authority. Amen? You don't threaten in those situations. You don't judge in those situations. You recognize God knows who the proper authority is, and then you pray for that authority. Amen? You pray for that authority. You pray for God to do his God thing. So when we're looking at judging, it really, what does it mainly do? It takes us out of where we're supposed to be, and it causes us to what? Take the place of God. How many know that taking the place of God is just not a good idea? Amen? Amen? And so when he says, if you judge, it'll come back at you. He's saying, if you judge others, and basically, if you take my place as judge, this is the Lord, if you take my place as judge, then I'm going to let others judge you. But if you don't take my place as judge, then I'm going to take care of you in this. I'm going to work this, and I'm going to take care of you this. The other thing about judging, you know, if you look at Jesus, and we don't have time to go all the scriptures, but if you look at Jesus, he was, right, first he was mocked and judged by Herod, right, on the way to the cross. And Herod was just mocking him. Herod was filthy, unclean, full of just demonic spirits, and mocking Jesus, trying to get him to perform for him. And what did Jesus do? What did he say? Nothing. Nothing. So when someone is trying to judge you, then say nothing. Just say nothing. And actually, God's leading some people in politics pretty good with some of this. I'm kind of amazed at how spirit-led people are without even knowing it. Now, when Pilate challenged Jesus about what he was accused of, what did Jesus do for Pilate? He explained why. Because Pilate was really trying to get to the truth. Okay? He was trying to get to the truth. So God's not telling us just to be quiet every time somebody questions us. The Lord says, get discernment to know, are they just mocking? And that's all we're seeing going on in the political system right now, for the most part. I just really believe God has shown me that. And then there's some sincere people that's not true about. But, you know, it's just this people being used and all this mess happening. It's like this big, crazy end time mess. It's amazing. It's like we're living right in the Bible. You know, it's like we're little characters in there, you know, running around like, oh, I mean, we've never seen the Bible so real than right now in my lifetime. So it's quite amazing. So do not judge that you may not be judged. I have watched God take care of me over and over and over when I've been accused and judged. And we have to quit defending ourselves. If we defend ourselves, we are still living under what spirit? Condemnation. If we're living under condemnation, guess what? One of the greatest reasons you're under condemnation, because you are still judging everything. Condemnation is not going to leave your thinking if you're judging everything else. Why? Because the Bible promises, you're judging, you're going to be judged. You're judging, you're going to be judged. You're judging, you're going to feel judged. What happens when you feel judged? You feel condemned. So let me just say this. This is a really good teaching. If you have issues with condemnation, and you know when you're thinking, I know Jesus died for me. I know he's my judge. I know his blood covers my sin. I don't know why I'm still condemned, feeling condemned. Okay, go deal with your judging everything. Criticizing is judging. Amen? Judging is judging. Having strong opinions is judging. Okay? Now, you can have an opinion personally about if you like, you know, meat sauce or non-meat sauce in your spaghetti. Although some people will get upset if they judge you as not right because you're not a vegetarian. But so even there, you can have problems. But I'm just saying, don't get crazy about it. But just really look at, what am I basing an opinion on that has to do with somebody else? Because God is their judge. And let me say, when you really start talking about ministers, God says that he has this awesome promise in his word. God says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Let's find that. Does anybody know where it's at? There's one that says he can make them stand. Anyway, let me finish this one, then we'll see if we can find it. But Romans 14:4, okay. So it was... Paul speaking it, but it says, do not judge that you may not be judged. For whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured again to you. So if you're extremely critical and you tell everybody and you try to ruin people's reputations, guess what's going to come back at you? Same thing. If you're more merciful about it, and maybe you just share it with a few friends or something, guess what's going to come back about you? They're going to be sharing it behind your back with a few friends or something. Amen? So what would be the ideal situation? Give it to God. Give it to God. Does that mean we're in bondage that we can't ever share or talk about anything? No, God's not about bondage. God is about the heart behind something. We got to set people free, because people get into rules and regulations. If you say this, this happens. No, no. It's about the heart. It's a heart condition that judges other people and forms opinions about them. It's a heart condition. It's a jealous condition. It's a insecure condition. It's a superior position. Okay. So it doesn't mean we're not to see what's going on and be able to speak the truth, what? In love. But you got to deal with, is this really coming from love or is this gossip? Two people could say the exact same thing about the exact same situation, and one of them is judging and speaking gossip, and which is witchcraft, and another one is speaking and sincerely working something through to help somebody. Amen? And so you need to spend that time with God. God is not about putting everybody in bondage. He's not about making rules. The Bible is so clear. If it's all about the law and not about the Spirit, it brings death. Okay? So everybody sitting around all controlled and worrying what to say or do, that brings death. God's not about that. He's about you understanding how this is set up so you can hate what God hates. Amen? And you can recognize, Lord, I want you as my judge. I only want you as my judge. The more we walk through this whole thing called life, right, isn't there things that you find out that you did wrong, that when God shows you did them wrong, it already hurts, right? It already hurts. And you just, aren't you so thankful for God's mercy? Aren't you so thankful that he still loves you, that he died for you, that he picks you up, that he cleans you off, and that even when you're humbled, he's glorified. Amen? And so we just have this really awesome daddy God. Amen? We just really have an Abba Father who's just powerful. So if there's an area in your life where you seem really critical, ask God, what is it going on there that's inside of me? What's going on there that's inside of me? What did I pick up from, maybe there's a parent or an authority person that you're really critical of. What's in you that's in them? Because there's no grace. There's no grace for that situation until you deal with you. Whenever something can get to you, all right? Whenever something can get to you, you have the problem. Thank God, because then I can get the problem fixed. Amen? I could take it to Jesus. I could take it to the Holy Spirit. That's always. When you try to control and change somebody else, or if you can ever be frustrated, we have a whole teaching on frustration. Frustration means you can't control somebody. And when people get frustrated, then it triggers things, okay? So if it triggers angers or outbursts of anger or cursing or whatever, or the silent treatment or passive aggressive or whatever. Passive aggressive, you're thinking exactly what somebody else would be saying. You're thinking it out loud. You're thinking it out loud in your head. And you really have a voice of the enemy speaking and you're agreeing with him. And it releases the same demonic forces as if you say it yourself. But then you can act all innocent. I didn't say anything. And God's like, but remember, God can read the thoughts of the people in Scripture, and he knows all of our thoughts, but he also does anoint people to know our thoughts. There's probably not anybody in here, if you've been here long, who I haven't said an exact thought of yours while I was saying something and you were having an opinion about it. Right? Like, how did she know? Because God knows. I don't always know who. Till y'all act funny. You know, like, it's like, whoa. Must have been them. How'd you know that? I was just saying what God was showing me, but geez, you didn't have to back it up. All right. Do not judge that you may not be judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. With whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you. Spiritual law. He says, why do you look on the twig that is in the eye of your brother, some say splinter, but do not see the log in your own eye? That's what I was just saying. Whatever is getting to you and your brother is in you. And the reason it's called a log in you is because when you put something right at your eye, it looks really big. I don't recommend doing this, especially if you're jumping on a trampoline or something. But so it's so big. And when something's so big, Like if you put your fist like here, you can't see clear. And God goes, you're sitting there trying to help them when you can't see clear. But when God gets that splinter out of your eye, when he deals with that issue, it humbles you. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, that's really humbling. Oh, that's kind of embarrassing. Oh, Lord, you know, that hurts. And then because you now have compassion, you can help somebody else get free. And truthfully, one of the strongest problems in the body of Christ is the judgmental, high-minded spirit that turns people off. Amen? It turns, your family gets turned off by you judging them. I was talking to somebody, I don't remember who it was now, but it's amazing. Oh, a new person I was talking to, I'm sure they're watching, but it's amazing that we don't realize how much we judge people. And everybody's heard my story, but just a few years ago, it's been about 2 years now, my husband and I were flying to a friend in Florida. And this friend lost his wife a few years ago, and we're great friends. We're like family friends. We've known each other 36 years, 36 or 37 years. And just, you know how you, every now and then you get that, those friends that are such good friends that you can be away for a while, but when you get back together, you're just really good friends. And that's what it was with this couple. And so she went on to be with the Lord. And so we were going, and her husband, in the last about 6 or 7 years of her life, as she kept getting sick and sick, maybe about 8 or 9 years, he got saved and he got really interested in talking about God and the Word and how all this works. And him and I would have our conversations. And so we're flying out to see him. And I remember thinking, you know, talking to God in the plane. And I'm like, God, you know, why is it that John and I, my husband, we could talk about anything, anytime. And, you know, we talk about the kids, we talk about the house, we talk about doing this, but, you know, movies, whatever. But when it comes to talking about spiritual stuff, he just clams up around me. And I'm like, and Lord, it's going to be so hard because where we're going and our friend really needs some counsel. He's really asking for some help. And he really loves when you use me, Holy Spirit, to minister to him. But it's just, what is going on? And I'm shocked when God says to me, while I'm sitting in the plane, and he convicted me so strong that I just burst out crying in the plane. And the Lord said, if you would quit judging him, then he wouldn't be closed off to you about this. And I thought, judging him? What are you talking about? First of all, can we all know God's right? He's never yet said, oh, Cindy, I misunderstood. You're right. Never. It just never has happened. Not even once. So you just as well face it. He's right. Okay. So you're like, okay. I'm like, show me how. And the Lord said that you would even, I can't remember how he showed me, but it's like, because you still pray for him that he would, you know, get a deeper walk with God. You still pray this and that. The Lord said, you judge him all the time. You don't let him just be who he is in me. So whenever he goes to talk, he feels that judgment. He feels the criticism. If he goes to church or doesn't go to church, if he does this, and I'm winning him without a word. I'm not even saying anything. Lord says, you don't have to say anything. If you think it, you release that judgment. If you think that towards your children, they feel that, people. They feel that judgment. Your friends, your coworkers. And what a freedom when you get this. When you let this break through and you realize it's not my job to be their Holy Spirit, period. It's not my job to worry about their eternal salvation. That all belongs to God. All he's telling me to do is to mature and basically win people without a word by how much you've changed knowing God. And let people be who they are. Women. Amen. I mean, it's like there's very few men who won't go, I wish somebody would hear this woman preach tonight. But it's like, you know, it's like this this wall. You don't realize it. When you judge someone, you put up a wall of superiority. And you're not meaning to. I mean, I was never meaning to. That wasn't my intention. Leaving the tracks around, leaving the books around, putting the tape there. Okay, can we ever do that? Yes, when God tells you to. Period. Amen? When he tells you to. Not when you think it would be a good idea and you ask God to anoint it. God, I'm going to help you out today. I'm going to take I'm going to put only these Christian magazines in the restroom, in the bathroom, nothing else. And they're like, oh, you're not helping me out. I've already read all those. No, you know, it's like, wrote a few of them, but not many. But anyway, but it's like the Lord, you see what I'm saying? The Lord's like, would you quit trying to do my job? Because when you do my job, you're judging. And when you judge, you make yourself superior. Oh, only the judge is superior. There's never an inferior judge. You may only be one part of your life, but when you decide to be the religious judge, or you decide to be the what you're going to wear judge, or what somebody's house should look like judge, or what they should be like, you have put yourself in a superior position. And so you want good relationships with somebody who feels, you want them to feel inferior. You basically want to oppress them. Now you're thinking, that's not my intention. No, but it is the enemy's intention. Amen? It's the enemy's intention to make people feel oppressed when they're around you. Now, there are places where you're given authority. So the judge in a courtroom is given the authority. And if we wanted to have a nation without lawlessness, I'm saying we have the carpets, we want to have a nation without lawlessness. Lawlessness is a sign of the end times. We've never seen it like we're seeing it now. Like being promoted by leaders and things. Lawlessness is a sign of the end times. And we want to get all that out of our hearts. Amen? But we have to recognize there's authority. And in that authority, they are given the God-given authority to make rules if they want to make rules or to do whatever. Parents have authority in their young children's lives. Let me repeat this. Parents have authority in their young children's life, not their adult children's life. When an adult child lives, anybody who lives in your home and you own the mortgage and you're paying the bills, you have authority over those people when they're in your home. You have no authority over those people when they walk outside of your home. Amen? You can choose. You can say, you know, if you're going to live here, you're going to church because we don't have anybody living in this house who doesn't go to church. You don't have to do that. That's between you and God. But you can do that if you're paying the bills and they're living in your home, right? If you both are sharing an apartment and neither one of you own it, you have no authority to tell the other person how to live and how to live like that. Amen? But a small child, you're supposed to train them up. And even the government shows you that you are responsible to some point in the age of what they're doing and not doing. Amen? And so you have to do what you have to do to have that authority in their life. But if you're not in that house, you don't have the authority, people. Amen? You do not have authority in your grown children's life. And it's called meddling, busybody, when you jump in there and take that authority. Amen? Everybody says, oh, I'm not looking up now. Yeah. No, you're putting a wall, you're being the judge, and you're taking Holy Spirit's place. You're like, well, what do I do if I see something that I realize now I've made an opinion about or I'm judging? What do? We pray. Pray for the person who has the authority. If somebody's not raising their children right, according to your standards. And let me say, there is a biblical knowing that having pornography in the house or kids partying underage, all these things are wrong, right? And if they went to court, it would be wrong. They could even lose their children. I'm not saying we sit back and say that evil isn't evil. What I'm saying is we need to be people who recognize what is judging and what is sincere concern and where do I draw those lines? Amen? Because number one, I don't want to be judged. You're going to be judged if you judge. If you step into a place of authority that you do not have, you are judging. Amen? Oh, everybody's so happy in this place. Yes, you are judging. And if you go deeper, you probably have a spirit of control. Amen? You probably have a spirit that undermines other people's authority. Amen? It's part of the whole judging thing. You might have a lot of wisdom. You might be right in what you think should be done. But if it's not yours to do, it's not yours to do. Amen? Can you make suggestions? Yeah. Nobody says to be quiet. Can you threaten? No. The Bible says do not threaten. The Bible says do not threaten. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Amen? So if you have to follow through and do something, then you do it. You never threaten. Threaten is a strong spirit of control. If you do this, if you don't do this, then I'm going to do this. Or if you don't do this, wait a minute, what are we? You don't threaten when you raise your children. You tell them what the rules are and you follow through every single time. Unless God puts on your heart to show mercy. And then you explain to them that God told me to show mercy and this is why. Amen? That way nobody's questioning, do I do this or do I not do this? Or how do I do this or should I do this? Because what happens when we have this kind of crazy, then nobody knows for sure what to do. You actually cause rebellion to rise up to try to see how far can I push this limit. And truthfully, godly parents led by Holy Spirit should start this when they're really young, not when they're bigger than you are. Then you have to go what? And get usually authority brought into it. And all this is part of helping get free from enabling too. So it's all tied into this, do not judge that you may not be judged, for with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. Think about it a minute. If you judge in somebody else's situation, let's say you judge me as the pastor of this church, not that any of you have ever even for 5 seconds thought of doing that. Okay? Then you're basically judging, giving an opinion of, forming a say about. Now I'm not talking about if I'm in blatant sin, then you find out what authority you have about that. One authority is don't give and don't come. Because we don't tie anybody down. Some of you might need to be tied down because you probably need to be here. But you see what I'm saying? That's how, you know, if I, let me say this. Personally, if the NFL wants to take a knee, then the NFL can take a knee. Because the authority about that rests in their boss. But if I don't want to watch it and I don't want to support the sponsors, I have every right to not watch it and not support the sponsors. I don't have to have an opinion. Amen. I don't have to get in debates. It doesn't have to be a big national news thing. The bottom line, I have that right. We say, well, they have the right to do that. Well, you have the right to watch it and sponsor it. Amen. Thank God for freedoms in America, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's when we judge. First of all, we can't judge that person's heart who's doing that. Because you're not their judge. God's their judge. He knows if they're doing that because there's bitterness and hurt in their heart and it has nothing to do with what they think, or they may have their facts wrong and see incorrectly because of how they've been wounded. Amen? Or they may really be having a certain thing that happened that they're not letting go of and they're trying to do it that way. None of that is what? Our business. None of that is our business. Amen? Can we have a right to say without judging that for me to see someone disrespect the national anthem to me, I find that is something I do not want to have any participation in. Because to me, the national anthem, to everyone, the national anthem means it's the voice of our nation in music. And so to disrespect that is disrespecting that. But you have a right to disrespect that, and you have a right to say why, unless your boss says you don't have this right. Amen? Amen? And when you go beyond your own authority, even if you have a high office in our nation, you can actually be provoking and stirring up stuff to make it worse. Amen? And so God wants us to get that stuff out of our heart. I don't want to be a bully with something. I can post what I post, but I don't take everybody off who posts something different. Now, if you cuss, I'm going to take you off. So I need to hear your nasty words on my post. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Now, there's things that just wrong is wrong. Abortion's wrong. How do I know? Because the Bible says that's not an opinion. That's not an opinion. Amen? But if somebody takes a knee during the national anthem, I can't find that in the scripture. Do I support it? Absolutely not. It's not hard for me to boycott football. I've always not watched football. The only time I ever watch football is when we've watched the Super Bowl and I decide to pray for the team that nobody else wants to win. And I watch them win to see how strong my prayer life is. But other than that, I don't get invited to many Super Bowl games. But anyhow, parties. But that's like, that's the sum total of it for me. But when I chose to agree with the Bible that men are men and women are women, and it's very clear, that's not a judgment. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to break through that God doesn't want us in bondage to where we can't agree with Him. When I agree with God, it's not an opinion. Okay? Now, if I agree with God with the wrong heart attitude, it could still be a judgment. Everybody, all right? So if I agree with God, let me see this. If I don't agree with God, but I have the right heart attitude, God will change how I see things when I mature. Amen? Amen? He's like he did with Paul. Although Paul should have known that putting people in prison and seeing them killed was totally not what God was into. But God was very merciful to Paul, wasn't he? Because even in that, Paul must have shown mercy. You just have to laugh at the judgments in the church and all this stuff coming up right now during the elections. Why? Because most of the New Testament was written by somebody who was like an ISIS to the Christian church in the early church. That's not kidding. That's true. That person. One of the main kings in the Bible that is forever talked about and still revered is a man who slept with another man's wife while the guy was in battle, got her pregnant, and then had the husband killed. How many know God means it when He says mercy? So, I mean, people can say what they want. You better put the stones down, folks. You better put down your political stones, both sides. We need to get a heart that doesn't rejoice and say, aha. When we have an aha heart, we have a judgmental heart. We need to get rid of the political spirit, number one. It's really horrific when anybody's used by the enemy. And it's really horrific when anybody goes to hell. And with what the day we're living in and what we're watching on the news constantly, it tries to stir up aha kind of thing. Amen? It tries to stir up what Lance called the evil eye, looking for the other guy to fall. Looking. God's not looking for anybody to fall. Amen? God's not looking for anybody. It doesn't mean He doesn't acknowledge evil is evil. It doesn't mean He doesn't acknowledge that this person needs a biblical wake-up call so that they don't go to hell. Amen? It doesn't mean that God just sits back and lets you come against Him. It doesn't work. I mean, where's that in the New Testament? Did anybody ever read about Paul when he had his conversion? Jesus Himself, like, hey, quit coming against me. It's not smart. Who are you, Lord? Go blind. You know? Let me show you how blind you are. I'm not even going to let you see until you do exactly what I say. How many know that Paul, obviously, when he opened his eyes, could really see for the first time? And God never held it against him. The horrific sin that he did. There were consequences, and look at the life he went through because you reap what you sow. But how many know He's in heaven and we're all going to meet Him there for sure? And so here we're trying, you know, to judge things that happened 40 years ago and nobody was there that's throwing all the... You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait a minute, just... This, God, help us. Our nation's gone nuts for what? A political reason. That's how crazy judging can get. Amen? Now, if we want to be protected from this kind of accusations, let me say this. Don't get in fear where the guys are like, I can't even be around a woman now, or what if I have an employee as a woman? That's all the devil stirring junk up, because it's going to be a big split between men and women. It's already happening. I prophesied it right before all this started. But as believers, what does that mean? As believers, it means, well, you know what? If I don't judge, then God's going to take care of me in this. If I do things God's way, I'm not going to live in the oppression and the bondage that Satan is setting up. Amen? I'm going to live... Oh, this just hit me. Think what they're hitting towards. The whole Muslim culture. You only get your wife. She's covered up. Nobody sees her. She can't touch anybody. She's off to herself. The women only hang with the women, the men with the men. This is the only way to stop these attacks that you're seeing when men and women work together. Whoa, feel that one. And everybody's buying it. All the women who've been hurt and bitter because they have been abused or whatever's happened, they're buying it. They've been fed it and bought it. I'm political tonight, aren't I? I wasn't going to try to be. I shopped all day. Didn't even think about it. God's political. God wants us to have eyes to see. And when we judge, we do not have eyes to see. When we judge, we form opinions. When we have a political agenda, we take on a political spirit, which is very judgmental, right? And we see everything through that. And how many want to be the people who are not blind? How many want to be the people who can see clearly, led by God? Well, he's telling you how. It's not because you go to church. It's not because you say you're a Christian. It's not even because God lives inside of you, although you have to have God inside of you to see clearly. Amen? But there are people of God inside of them, but they're still blind. Because they're not obeying what he says to do. He says quit judging, and you won't be judged. He says let him handle it. He says be meek. Meek means you trust God and leave it in God's hands. And what does he want us to do? Be led by the Spirit. Only do what he tells us to do. I could tell you stories. He goes on, he says, Matthew 7:4, how will you say to your brother, allow me to cast out that twig from your eye, and behold, you have the log in your own eye. You hypocrite. Okay, get this word, hypocrite. When you judge someone else for what's still in your heart, God sees you as a hypocrite. There are places in hell for hypocrites. Am I saying everybody's going to hell? No, I'm saying I don't want anything in my heart that Satan could use to try to get me there. Amen? See, a lot of you aren't any deeper in God because you don't obey him. God has never made this easy. He's never made this easy, and there aren't that many anointed people. There's a lot of people with hidden knowledge. A little bit of yay when they get in the presence of God, when somebody else who is anointed brings in the presence of God. Whoa. But there's not that many really anointed people. Because if you love him, you obey him. So I just want you to go a little deeper. Oh, it's already after 8. My goodness, we didn't get to finish this one at all. I want you to really pray for God to show you the judgmental things in your heart. Because this is really big. If we could get judgment out of our hearts, you would see your prayers answered. You would see people come to God. You would see people. And I'm not talking about not speaking the truth in love. I'm not talking about a watered-down version that everybody wants to be codependent with you about. Amen? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a love that's real, that's true to God's word, but doesn't judge but rescues. But doesn't judge but rescues. Or quits thinking that you're in charge of where somebody else is at. And I will say this, when I got from that flight, I was boo-hooing in the plane. God was just showing me thing after thing where I had hurt my husband, just thing after thing where I hurt my children. And I was a mess. I was just crying. And it broke off. And from that day on, John and I have been able to talk about everything at Beauty for Ashes, the deeper stuff in the Word, you know, whatever. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, all these years I thought it was him when it was me. I just feel like God wants us to just spend a little bit of time before we get in our groups and let him show you some of the judgments in your heart, the areas where you feel superior, where you try to be in control, where you have opinions. Some of you have opinions about everything. You always hear, well, that's my opinion. I say, well, I don't have any. And when I start to form opinions, I need to get off Facebook for a while and just spend a lot of time fasting and praying before the Lord to get rid of my opinions. God doesn't want us being led by opinion. He wants us to be led by truth. But truth means nothing if it's not full of love. I can't speak truth. I can know truth, but I can't speak it until I can speak it in love. And the problem is, A lot of us know truth, thank God, but we speak it way before. If I speak truth without love, I'm being judgmental. I'm being judgmental. So what's the key? The key is hanging out with Jesus, who is love, and getting his heart for people. Getting his heart for people. Even God's judgments are full of mercy and love. It's giving people one more chance to repent. I'm so want to just scream in love when you hear everybody say, well, you know, those prophets who say that the fires are judgment, or those who say this, I got to teach on this. Why do we act as if judgment isn't full of love? God says it's okay to lose your stuff. Just don't lose your soul. We need to be in agreement with what God's doing. Because the heart of agreement is, Lord, turn California to you. Save them. Turn them. Make that power that they have. Make that zeal that they have. Make that desire that they have to lead or whatever. Lord, use it for you. Let there be a move of the Holy Spirit in California that's like the purging fire. Lord, as these fires are breaking loose, Lord, draw people to you. I would rather see people lose all their stuff and save their souls. Amen. So would God. So would God. But you say, well, what about the innocent people? People, there is no such thing as innocent people. What are we doing? We're judging. But they're not so bad, and they're not so bad, and they're terrible. No, it doesn't work. Even the rain, the good stuff goes on the just and the unjust, right? It's not about that. Okay, so where's that? Where's my divine protection in this? If I could be, well, my divine protection is I know God. If he tells me to get out of the house today, I'm going to get out of the house today. Amen. If he decides to put angels around my house and I want to go back to a neighborhood where everybody else's house is burned down, then I can go back to that neighborhood. Amen. I have a God where they can, 1,000 can fall to one side, 10,000 to the other, but not come near me. Amen. That's my promise. My promise isn't that the entire Williamsburg area will always be divinely protected because I live there. He can give me divine protection for that. But I know this, wherever I'm at, God's going to take care of me. Somebody prayed for that guy to fall yesterday before, or this morning. Was that this morning? The guy with the bomb? Was that this morning or yesterday? Yesterday. So nowadays, it's like every day. It's like, oh. Couldn't even be soap operas. They used to be so slow. I don't watch them anymore, but before God got a hold of my heart, I did. And I was like, God, it'd take 4 months to get to something. Now you can't even turn on the TV the next day because there's something so new, you forgot what yesterday's news was. But I'm going to tell you, don't tell me somebody didn't pray and that guy tripped. He was about to kill possibly hundreds of people, and instead he got hurt pretty bad. In a pretty humbling way, actually. How cool is our God? But now we need to pray that he'll wake up and say, how did that happen? How did that happen? I mean, I pray he relives it over and over in his head. Like, I was just walking along. What was it that tripped me? What was it that did that? And when he starts asking, God says it was me. Because you don't really want to murder people. You're just trying to please God, but that's not the right God. And turn that man around like he did Paul. Amen? That's why we can't have opinions, but we can't be blind to what evil is. You understand what I'm saying? God's not asking us to be blind to what evil is. God's asking us to quit having opinions and be biblical and be led by his Spirit and be mature so we love. Love looks like something. It sounds like Heidi Baker, doesn't it? I think it's her book. Anyhow, go get it. Good book. Do you see what I'm saying, though? It's like we're one way or the other, one way or the other. God's like, quit being wishy-washy. Know what his word says. Get a relationship with him so he can make it real and bring revelation. And then let him do his work to cleanse you, heal you, set you free, and put you in the refiner's fire so that his love can come out of you in a real way. And that word have power. Amen? Power to heal people, power to convict people, power to at least show people that there's somebody with love who knows how this whole thing works. God wants us to get up there and rule and reign with him. Amen? He wants us to rule and reign with him. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to get in our groups. Father, Lord, this is just part one of helping people get free of judging. Lord, I just pray right now that people would stop for a second and give you their hearts in the area of where they have opinions. And Lord, that they would get with you, Lord, and they would get real about places where they've taken authority that's not theirs because they've become the judge. And Lord, that you would once again speak to us, Lord God, speak to your people, and let us do this your way. Let us trust you as the protector. Let us trust you as the one to lead us. And Lord, that everything we do, Lord, it's saturated in your love. It's saturated in your leading. It's saturated in your wisdom. And so, Father, we just give up the wisdom of the world, and we choose your wisdom, and we choose obedience to you, God. And Lord, we just lay down our opinions and our judgment. Lord, help make this real. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.